Let's say you are aggressively paying off debt or saving for a big goal and choose to tighten up your Christmas spending this year to hit that goal. How do you handle family expectations or friends, especially those whose love language is gifts and spending the big bucks on those gifts to show love? Well, lucky for you, that's what we are going to unwrap in today's episode.
We've heard this woe so many times inside our Wallet Win Academy community, and I just want to lead with, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but you are not doomed to awkwardness when maybe you need to tighten up that Christmas spending, but other people may not desire to or reciprocate that. Mm-hmm. You can still do what's best for your family and your finances and whatever goal that you have discerned as the next best priority for you without causing it to bring harm to your relationships with your friends and your family. Mm-hmm. So you also don't have to be left to just experiencing resentment or pushing this under the rug and saying nothing, just hoping nobody notices that you spray painted a couple of dollar store frames and put photos in it while they gave you, you know, a Vera Bradley bag or something. You know, you're not going to be doomed to have that awkwardness following you around this holiday season. And we're going to talk about that. Putting in some good boundaries mm-hmm. around holiday spending is something that's just critical. It can feel frustrating, but it can be a blessing to you and it can be a blessing to others as well. Even though it's something that our nature might want to avoid, it can bring a whole lot of freedom and clarity and just bless your entire family all around. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Putting boundaries in around spending around the holidays is particularly important because it is a time of year, and depending on your personality and all this, but it is a time of year, especially in our culture, that is seemingly designed to get you to just loosen up the belt on spending mm-hmm. and just, you know, go nuts with it.
Yeah, statistically speaking, a majority of people charge their way through Christmas and cannot pay it off in full. They got sucked into the ho, ho, ho spirit and it's okay. They kind of just appease the anxiety that it brings. And they're left with the Christmas bill in those January and in those February credit card payments.
I think even half a year later, a lot of folks are still
limping along,
paying off Christmas. So this is a topic to talk about today because you could just have that pull, right? Maybe you've spent a lot on Christmas in the past, and you're used to that and what all that brings. But it could also be, and this is especially what we're going to be talking about today, when you are intentionally pulling back from what happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And most especially when those around you in your family, especially, are not pulling back and may even be those folks who like to just go wild and really and see it, you know, as a way of expressing love. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that maybe giving less gifts or not participating in so many things or whatever it is doesn't come off and communicate falsely that you don't care for them, mm-hmm. you don't like them, that you just want to be a humbug. So we're going to talk about that. That's where the focus of this is on today. But one more thing we're not going to talk about is having boundaries around your holiday spending is good no matter where you are with your finances.
Yeah. Whether you're just starting out, barely have a budget, and you're knee deep in debt, to if you're a multimillionaire, you're debt free, and you are just sitting down to prioritize who you're going to get and how much you're going to spend on each person, etc. Being intentional is the key. Mm-hmm. Good stewardship never leaves us. We're always called to be good stewards. We never get to an income level where we are not called to practice virtue with our money. And budgeting is the most practical way we could ever apply virtue to our money because we're sitting down to prioritize, if we're married, with our spouses and with God, where should this money that you've entrusted to me be spent? Mm-hmm. And Christmas is wrapped up in that. Now, it doesn't need to be where you are entering in every single minute, okay, I'm going to spend $100 on this person, and I got to kind of break it down into all the little nitty gritty details, you can have a broader category and just keep track there.
Yeah, no matter where you are, you just want to make sure these boundaries are in place for your good, for your safety, to protect the other parts of your budget, the other things you're trying to do in your financial life, so you can actually do them. But today, in particular, we're looking at when those boundaries might, you know, run into other folks and maybe their expectations. Now, no matter if you're in this situation or not, I think you can take what we're going going to talk about and apply it to all those other situations we're not necessarily speaking into directly.
And it might even bleed over into holiday traditions and how many events you're going to attend or not attend. It took us a while in our marriage to figure out that end of things. I want to say it was our third Christmas married because we were in the adoption process. And our oldest daughter came to us through adoption in November of 2014. And it took basically all of our savings, all of our checking. We had a little bit of savings left over, but we needed to focus back on rebuilding that. We ended up having to have this conversation. And we came home, I think, from California, where, you know, we adopted her, and kind of looked at the budget and was like, okay, well, this conversation needs to happen ASAP because we don't have money to buy anybody anything. You know, that's just not a prudent use of our funds this year.
Yeah.
The most prudent way we could handle the money God is entrusting to us is to rebuild back up our emergency savings because now we have a child. Buying gifts in high amounts for lots of different people is not a priority right now. Someday we'll get back to people. And for any of these years that we're a little leaner, we'll probably make it up on the back end later. But let's go ahead and have these conversations. And that year, I think we reached out probably a little late. It was, I think, later in November. If ideally, you could have this conversation in maybe October.
Yes.
Or early November.
So now.
Right now. This is probably as late as you can have this conversation.
Right now.
Yeah. So if you need to have it, you need to have it this week. But you do need to reach out to your family, your friends, your neighbors, whoever that you exchange Christmas presents with, and you need to have a conversation. And it's important that you don't just go to the conversation and basically paint yourself as a Debbie Downer who's just a big no-ville, saying no to everything, crushing everything, blaming your budget, making this sound bad, super negative.
Or it's all about me. I'm just going to focus on me and my goal. So
You could slink into this conversation. You could be a jerk in this conversation. How do you thread that needle, John, and do it well?
And be nice.
And be charitable, but also clear.
And elicit a positive response.
Exactly.
Which is a very important thing. Well, a good way to get into this conversation is talk about what you're doing with your finances. Maybe they know, maybe they don't, that you have been going through the Catholic money course, that you realize you've got all this debt, now you're ready to get out, or you're actually saving for emergencies, so you know you're not plunged into trouble like you were back when this or that happened. So talk about like what you're going after, right? It was easy, I think, for us, right? Hey, you know, I think every other year before that week, I think we went back to Pennsylvania. Like we did a lot of
back home
spending.
Yeah.
We said we let off with, hey, we just had this baby. You know, it took a lot, all the, you know, finances. We should probably just be home with her, blah, blah, blah. Because of that, we're really pulling back the Christmas spending this year so that we have something in the bank in case something were to happen in the future. So because of that, you know, I don't think we're going to make it out, or we're going to be just doing a lot of handmade gifts, or I know it's a big thing, but I can't participate in the white elephant at all of those parties, whatever that might be. And then it makes sense There's a reason. You're not just coming in and
you're
saying,
not the wet blanket.
Hey, that part of the holidays you really enjoy, I'm not going to participate.
Yes, you're not just the fun killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to be passionate and enthusiastic about what this will free you up to do.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge mm-hmm. that it might even be frustrating for them, especially the people that are huge gift givers. And it doesn't need to necessarily change what they give to you. People, they have no desire to change that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. But the people that their love language is receiving gifts, I think it's important to just acknowledge that. And then to make sure that you're going to show up with something that's really high quality that didn't cost you a lot of money.
Mm.
And those are mm-hmm. limitless. But those people that their love language is receiving gifts, sometimes the really high quality, you didn't spend a lot of money on it, but you made this super crazy, uber personal gift for them.
You put a lot of thought into
this. This is so much more meaningful to that person and filling their love tank than you showing up with a Birkin bag. I don't know. Those are rather special.
Yeah, maybe that's how you gotten all that debt.
Yeah. But really just acknowledging the other person too, and not making this just all about me and my goals, blah, blah, blah. So that's important as well.
And this is important, especially when you're speaking to someone whose love language is gifts and when yours isn't. It's not as strong for you.
Oh, that.
Because you might not, you just don't understand it. It's not in the selfish or materialistic or any of that thing. It's just the way some of us are built. We like gifts. It's a really effective way to feel, to like get right to our heart and feel loved. And it's a way that's easy for us to express that love. If you're not there, if that's just not the way you were built and that's just how it is, it's not bad. I'm speaking to you, Amanda.
I think this is a conversation. you said we. You mean you and fellow gifties. I could give a rip about
gifts. Yeah, you usually do give a rip.
This is an area I could grow in.
But because I've seen it firsthand, where I'm like, I understand some of the implications of this more naturally. Where if you don't, you Amanda and you listening, give it some thought. Understand what this could mean. And this is why we're having the conversation, so that the blanks aren't filled in later are you kidding me? I did this.
They're
this.
Just a stinger.
Mooching.
They stiffed us. Yeah. So, don't let them fill in the blank with what the enemy is going to whisper.
Yes. You can fill those blanks in ahead of time before they're hardly even blanks and do it with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked what you were talking about, Amanda, of you can make gifts. You can even, get from the thrift store, whatever it is, homemade stuff. When you have to, when you're getting more intentional about, okay, I need to make a great gift and I'm intentional about the price of it. You also end up being very intentional about what it is.
Yeah.
Because I only have so much to spend. What's really going to nail it? And you're thinking about them more and you're probably going to give a better gift.
Probably. I remember that year then things were tightened up for us. You know, your brother and sister-in-law, we wanted to give them a really nice gift. I forget what it was right now. It was something for their son. And it was on their wish list, but it was a thing that was $150. But we were tightening things up. I did find one in gently used condition, I think in our local area, mm-hmm. for $20. Something crazy where somebody they used it once, they knew they didn't want to use it ever again. I was very clear and I asked them in advance, hey, I would really like to gift this for you guys, but because of these boundaries and blah, 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 I can get it, but it's going to be open box. Is that okay with you? And I wanted to be proactive about that because some people, they view used as dirty or broken or less than, which is silliness, pure silliness. I wouldn't buy something that was that way.
And the moment you open the box and use it, now it's used.
Right. So I'm one of those people that just likes to capture the value. Your brother and sister-in-law, they also saw the reason in that too. And they were like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. And we were able to gift them that gift. And for my parents that year, I think, you know, they didn't have any pictures on their wall and they needed some pictures on their wall. So we didn't go to the dollar store. I think we went to the thrift store and we bought up a bunch of dollar frames and then we spray painted them silver.
So that they would look the same.
Yeah. So they all looked the same, but it looked like a gallery wall with a bunch of different textures and shapes. And then we printed off a bunch of family photos from over the years and they were able to put that on their wall. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a meaningful gift that keeps on giving throughout the year, because when I walk past pictures in our home, they make me feel happy. And you know, my parents can enjoy that too. So had we, in some ways, you're right. It forces you to get more creative, but you give a better gift oftentimes when you have to really sit down and think about it.
Yeah. And that's what the whole idea of giving a gift is, to express your love, to make somebody's day, to just put a smile on somebody's face. And you can really do that if you're putting some thought into it, no matter what the price that you're putting into this gift is. In some ways, as long as you're paying the price of your attention and your thoughtfulness, it's really going to come through.
Absolutely. One last resource that you might utilize is a book called Crucial Conversations. Mm. Now, I don't know if most situations warrant a peruse through this book, but it has been a book that has helped Jonathan and I so often in just navigating adult life. I have found that most people don't know how to engage other people in seemingly difficult, hard, or confrontational high-stakes conversations. And the default then is to just never talk about anything. And then it breeds gossip and resentment and bitterness. And
then you just wait until it happens and then it gets really crazy and ugly.
Yeah. And I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. And we've learned the awkward skill. But it does, as you practice it, it gets easier, even though your adrenaline will usually still spike and you'll feel maybe a little shaky if you're a personality like me. But you'll know how to go into a conversation that is hard and how to express yourself in a way that is clear, consistent, but also protects the other person, assumes the best, and keeps it as low. What am I looking for? Low cortisol spiking as possible, keep everybody as safe as they can be so that we can still be having this conversation from a place of rationality and not from, no, my frontal cortex has hijacked me and I'm angry or whatever, you know, from emotion. We want to stay in the rational brain. And I think Crucial Conversations sets up a good framework to do that.
Yeah. So if having conversations like that maybe is a new experience for you, that book can be really helpful.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
Yes, there'll be a link there right in the notes for this episode. And if maybe being more intentional when it comes to Christmas is a newer thing for you, mm-hmm. you'd like a little bit of help, we have our 5 days to a debt-free Christmas. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of five different
workshops.
Yeah, five little mini workshops about what you can do to make Christmas kind of stay in Christmas this year, to follow you into the new year. So you help you get in the right frame of mind, get started with it all, create your plan. And then we share some of our favorite low cost, high meaning mm-hmm. Christmas gift ideas.
There's also an interactive budgeting guide.
Yes.
That we still use ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the souped up and pleasant to see Google Sheet, but it does a lot of calculations for you. It turns red if you overspend, all that stuff.
Yeah, it helps you balance what you want to spend on who and then keep track of those details, because that can get a little hairy inside your regular budget.
Yeah, yeah, because then you don't have to add 12 more categories
yes.
for figuring out who you got presents for and all that in your normal budget.
Yep.
So you can grab that. There's a link in the show notes. And for a limited time, you can get $10 off the 5 days to debt-free Christmas workshop series by using that link down below, or go to walletwin.com/Christmas10.
That's
$10 off.
Bada boom. There you go. So we've helped you get set up for a debt-free Christmas and also how to have and enter into those maybe difficult but necessary boundary conversations. Trust me when I say they're for your good and they're for others' good as well. So even though your brain might be telling you to run and avoid the conversation at all costs, wade into those waters. Do it as an act of charity to yourself and to those you love. You've got this. Until next time, bye for now. Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Wallet Win program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode is from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Wallet Win program at walletwin.com.
Music in this episode is from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit spokestreet.com.